definition of courage. Here's the Mark Job definition of courage. I define courage as the inner strength to do the right thing in spite of our fear.
This is Straight Talk.
Hi, this is Mark Job, and we are going through our four-part series called Rise, the difference between those people that rise to the top and sink to the bottom is all about their attitude. And today we'll be looking at the attitude of courage. In fact, in this text, we'll be talking about Saul and his inability to have courage when it really counted. You know, the thing that strikes me about Saul is not that he had fear, although when he first started to serve, he was hiding among the baggage. When he was called to be king, he always had this heart of fear. But you see, courage is not the absence of fear, but it's the determination to do what's right in spite of our fear. And in this is a very, very sad story, because in this lesson today, we'll discover that Saul had the ability to make a huge difference, but he feared people and their opinions more than he trusted in God. The fear of man is a snare, but the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So let me ask you a question today. Who do you fear more, people or what God thinks about you? If fear of people is driving your life, you're going to make a lot of huge mistakes in your life. It's about having a reverent fear for God and trusting Him for our future. Open up your spirit, open up your spiritual ears to receive the word today.
Thanks, Pastor Mark. Well, tonight we continue in our series called Rise, Live Your Best Life. And tonight's message is called Courage. Our text for tonight will be found in 1 Samuel chapter 13. Let's get right into the word tonight with Pastor Mark. Tonight's Straight Talk is called Courage.
David was given the same opportunity that King Saul was given. But Saul ended up his life in a huge mess, squandering the opportunity that God gave him and leading to a tragic end. But yet King David started at the same place, but he climbed that ladder of God's destiny and ended up changing the course of history and being called a man after God's own heart, writing one of the books that of the Bible that we read and love the most, the book of Psalms, and actually being mentioned in the lineage of Jesus the Messiah. What is the difference between a Saul and a David? And in order to understand that, I want you to take your Bibles and to go to 1 Samuel chapter 13. 1 Samuel chapter 13. We're looking in this series at four characteristics that make a difference between the Sauls and the Davids of life, and that's passion, courage, confidence, and integrity. And today we're talking about the whole issue of courage. Now, my definition of courage, here's the Mark Job definition of courage. I define courage as the inner strength to do the right thing in spite of our fear. You know, some people think that courageous people are people that have no fear. And I think we're totally wrong on that, because I think courageous people have fear just like all of us. But courageous people say this: I will do what's right in spite of the fear that I have. I have fear, but the inner determination and strength to do what's right will be bigger than the fear that I possess. I was at Pine Trails this past weekend. You know, there's a camp up in Michigan, and we have about 200 people from this location that are over there right now. They're holding services this morning. And there's a zip line up in Pine Trails. And I would say that this zip line that goes from one tree to another tree is probably at least 100 feet high. And it's just a rope that you get on and you swing down. So one of the sisters from New Life decided she had never done it before, and all the kids were doing it. She said, I'm going to do it too. So she got up on that platform about 100 feet high, and we were all down there saying, okay, one, two, three, go. And there she sat. Okay, let's do it again. One, two, three, go. And there she sat again. And from a distance, I could see her face. There was tension all over her face. And she was grabbing onto the edge. And I could tell she had fear. She was looking down and thinking, I wonder if this rope's going to hold. But finally, when we counted a third time, she released. And I actually took a picture and showed her afterwards because her picture explained the whole thing. I mean, it was a picture of terror. But she did it. And you see, that's what courage is. Courage is the ability to do what we've determined in our heart to do what we feel is right to do in spite of the fear that plagues us. And I think we see this in David all of the time, and we see the opposite in Saul. So I'm going to begin reading in verse 8 of 1 Samuel chapter 13. And you can follow along in your Bibles. I'm reading out of the New International Version. In fact, I'm going to read a verse earlier in verse 7. It says, some Hebrews even crossed the Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. Saul, who had just been appointed king not too long ago, remained at Gilgal, and all the troops with him were quaking with fear. Now, to set this up, this was Saul's first battle experience. He was about to be opposed by this ferocious Philistine army. He had gathered all the Israelites' troops to engage in his first battle. And his troops were not very confident. In fact, it says they were all quaking with fear. And Samuel, who was the prophet that had appointed him and anointed him as king, had said to Saul, Saul, I want you to wait at this mountain Gilgal, and before you go into battle, we need to seek God. We need to offer a burnt offering to God Almighty, invoke the power of God, and say, God be with us and God go with us. So, in 7 days, I will meet you there. Wait for me. Don't go to battle until I get there. The Bible says in verse 8 that he waited 7 days, the time set by Samuel. But Samuel did not come to Gilgal. And Saul's men began to scatter. So he said to himself, bring that burnt offering and the fellowship offerings. And Saul offered up the burnt offerings just as he had finished making the offering. Samuel arrived and Saul went to greet him. Verse 11, what have you done? Asked Samuel. Saul replied, when I saw that the men were scattering and that you did not come at the set time and that the Philistines were assembling at Michmash, I thought, now the Philistines will come down against me at Gilgal, and I have not sought the Lord's favor, so I felt compelled to offer a burnt offering. Verse 13, you acted foolishly, Samuel said. You have not kept the command of the Lord your God gave to you. If you had, he would have established your kingdom over Israel for all time. But now, your kingdom will not endure. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart and appointed him leader of the people because you have not kept the Lord's command. If you're taking notes this morning, I want you to write this down. I want you to understand the difference between fear and courage and the effect that a lack of courage has upon our life. First point I want you to understand. Fear will often cause us to exit the waiting room through the door of compromise. Fear causes us to exit God's waiting room through the door of compromise. You see, Samuel had said, wait 7 days. Saul waited 1 day, and he's looking for Samuel. Where's the prophet? Where's the man of God? Is he here? He waited a second day, and he still wasn't appearing. On the third day, I'm sure he had scouts looking for him. Hey, maybe Samuel got lost. The fourth day, he was getting nervous. The troops were saying, where's the man of God? The Philistines are gathering. By the seventh day, Saul was at his wit's end. He felt like Samuel's late. God or the man of God isn't showing up on time. And if God doesn't show up on time, I better do something about it because God is late. And the Bible says he took into his own hands to offer a burnt offering, which was not his role to do. And he exited the waiting room through the door of compromise. I don't know about you, but I don't like waiting. In fact, I don't know many people who like waiting. Doesn't it drive you crazy to sit in a doctor's office and wait? Have you ever been behind someone in the grocery store with 30 coupons? I want to say, here's 10 bucks. Is this going to serve you? I'm waiting here. I just have one soda here. And are you the kind of person that waits at a stoplight and thinks, I know this light's broken. I mean, it's been red way too long. I think we need to, like, move on here. But, you know, there are worse times in life. And when our faith is really tested is in the waiting room of big decisions. And, you know, God is a master at putting us in the waiting room of life. In fact, you can't live without being in the waiting room. There are periods of time in life where you will have to wait on God. There's nothing to do but twiddle your thumbs. You feel like my life is on pause until God comes through. But in the meantime, God is doing something. In fact, God is testing your faith. He is testing your perseverance. He is hoping and pushing you to trust Him. You may be a single woman here that feels like, you know what, I had my plans, and according to my laid out plans, I was supposed to be married 5 years ago. By this time, I should have had 2.5 children, and you know what, God is late. And so you may be tempted to exit the single waiting room through the door of compromise. And you say, well, I know this guy is not all that. And I know I was wanting a strong Christian leader, and he had to be a man of character, but you know what? By this time, I've lowered my standards a bit. And now, I'm not that concerned that he had been saved that long, and you're lowering your standards little by little. Well, does he have a job? Well, not really a job, but was he a believer? Well, you know, he has a Bible.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Job in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled Courage, which is from our series called Rise, Live Your Best Life. After tonight's broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of tonight's message, as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 13. Tonight's Straight Talk is called Courage.
Was he a man of integrity? Well, you know, He just got out of 26 in Cal, but, you know, he was innocent. And when it all boils down, you say, well, at least he's a male and he's breathing. And that's your standard now. You just kind of, and you exit. Everybody around you say, no, don't do it. Bad decision. But you are so fed up that you exit the door, the waiting room through the door of compromise. You may be in a financial tough situation right now, and you know that there's a business deal that you could do, but it's a shady business deal. But you're waiting for God to come through. You're waiting for an open door, but it's not happening. And so it's shady, but you feel like, hey, God would understand. It's not that shady. And so you exit the door, the waiting room through the door of compromise, making a decision that you know is not quite right to make. But you feel like, hey, God hasn't shown up on time, and I have the right to exit this door this way. Or the person that's married in this marriage that doesn't seem to be clicking right, and you have this idea that God has you tied up in this marriage that's not being fixed, and instead of getting better, it seems to get worse. And you say, well, I have needs, and they're just not being met. And I know that God doesn't want me to be unhappy. In fact, I know that God wants me to be happy. By the way, just side note, I've never read that in the Bible, that it's God's chief aim in life to make you happy. Never found. Happiness and joy is a byproduct of following Him, but God's goal is not to make you happy. And so when you say, well, I thought it was God's goal to make me happy, and how could God keep me in this unhappy marriage? And so you you exit the waiting room through some affair that you justify on the basis of, well, God wants me happy and I wasn't happy in my marriage. You see, the compromise door will always come back to bite us. That door will always hit us on the back end. The Bible says that Saul offered a burnt offering when he should have been waiting for God's solution. The second thing I want you to see about when we live our life without courage is that fear of losing control will cause us to assume roles that are not ours to take. It tells us in verse 9 and 10, "And Saul offered up a burnt offering. Just when he had finished making the offering, Samuel arrived and Saul went to greet him." Doesn't it seem like so many times in life, just about the time we do the wrong thing or compromise, then God shows up? And if we just had waited 5 more minutes, if we just had held on a little bit longer, the solution would have come. Some of you are right around the corner of a major breakthrough. But in your mind, you're compromising. In your mind, you have your hand on the exit door of compromise. You have your hand on that door that you know you shouldn't go through. But what you don't know is right around the corner that you can't see, God has a solution. And some of us, right before God's solution, we exit through the wrong door. Here's what I've discovered, though. Oftentimes, fear... You see, Saul's problem was he feared men more than he feared God. And the Bible says that as he saw the people scattering and he watched his armies quake and tremble, he began to fear that he was losing control. He began to feel fear that his armies were going to scatter, that he would lose control of his men, and if he went to face the Philistines, they would lose the battle. And so he began to fear like, hey, I have to control this situation. And listen, I want you to understand that fear of losing control will cause us to step into roles and assume roles that aren't ours to take. So he was a king, not a priest. And because he felt like he was losing control of the crowd, he decided, okay, I know I'm a king, and I know I'm not supposed to offer burnt offerings, but I'm going to switch roles to keep control, and I'm going to step into a role that's not mine. Because I don't want to lose control of this situation. You see, he knew that only a priest would offer sacrifice, offering. That you had to be of the lineage of Aaron. That you had to be trained and set apart and sanctified for this role. But because he felt like he was losing control, he stepped into a role that wasn't his. Now, I believe that we do that all the time in life. I believe that some of you married women, your husband isn't, you know, he's not going down the road you like him to go. And so you assume the role of the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit is supposed to be the paraclete, the one that comes along and helps. You become the paraclete to the paraclete. You decide, I'm going to help the Holy Spirit. And so you become sort of the fourth person of the Godhead. You feel like, yeah, well, my husband's okay, but he really needs me to help convict him a little bit more and to challenge him. And so you take it on your job to help bring conviction upon your husband, to tell him when he's wrong, to tell him what he needs to do. And you say, well, he's not quite listening to God, so maybe he'll listen to me. And listen, that's not your role. You know, it's not your role. Your husband has a Holy Spirit that's going to bring conviction on him, and he doesn't need two Holy Spirits. And by the way, let me tell you, is it working? Because what really happens is it doesn't work. What happens is your husband gets angry, anxious, he pulls away, and you feel like I'm a nag now because I'm nagging. Can you change this? Can you do this? And you know what ends up backfiring? Because God never called you to be your husband's Holy Spirit. Amen. Listen, some of you, oh, we're going to have a big conversation. We have a big conversation after service there. Listen, some of you have sons and daughters that are going through a tough time. and you really want them to go in the right direction, and you really want them to follow God, but you're called to be a parent. But instead of being a parent, you become a detective, and you become a jailer, and you assume this role of controlling their lives when God never called you to control their life. God called you to become a parent, to coach their lives and love them. But you assume a role that's not yours to take on because you're afraid I'm losing control. And let me tell you, the bottom line of anxiety and fear is this. Fear is always driven and flamed by the fact that I can't control the situations. In fact, think about it for a moment. The things that cause you to be most anxious in life are the things that you cannot control in life. Now think about it for a second. What causes you to be anxious? What causes you to toss and turn at night? What makes you choose your fingernails at work? What causes you to lose concentration when you're supposed to be inputting data onto your computer and you find yourself daydreaming a little bit? What causes your stomach to get up in knots at times? If you can mention the top three or four things that do that, I can guarantee you that those things that cause you to be most anxious in life are those things that you have no control over. Can you really control the fact that your job is talking about downsizing? Is worrying about downsizing rumors really? Can you change anything about it? Are you able to change the report that comes back from a doctor when you're waiting for that mammogram test result to come back to you? Is your worrying really able to change any of that? By worrying a lot, can you really change the course of your 15-year-old son or daughter and who they hang out with and what's happening at school? Does your worry really change anything? You see, our anxiety and worry is based on the fact that we are trying to control things that we have no power over. And I believe that what God tells us to do is don't be anxious about anything, like he tells us in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 through 8. Be anxious about nothing, but in everything through prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. In other words, there's a point in time where we are responsible for what God has entrusted to us. And the things that we have no control over, we say, God, I'm not going to try to control it. I'm going to release it to the person that has authority and power to control it, to God Almighty. You see, that's where Saul failed. Because Saul took on the role of a priest in order to control his situation. It reminds me a little bit of 2 Chronicles 26, verse 16. Do you remember the story of King Uzziah? King Uzziah lived during the time of Isaiah the prophet. And in Isaiah chapter 6, it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, but you may not know this story about Uzziah. Uzziah was a king, but when he rose in power, he had arrogance and pride, and I think mixed with fear of losing control. And it tells us in 2 Chronicles chapter 26, verse 16, that Uzziah became powerful. His pride led him to a downfall. He was unfaithful to the Lord his God, and he entered the temple. One day, he marched down the city streets. He walked right into the temple, although he was a king and not a priest. And he went right through the priest that tried to oppose him and said, no, this is not your place. He went to the altar of the living God, and he said, I will sacrifice on this altar. The priests were flabbergasted. Rose up and opposed him. Don't, Uzziah. Yet in his pride, in his desire to control, he did it anyways. And the Bible says that as soon as he did that, as soon as he approached the altar, that leprosy broke out on his forehead. And he ran out of the temple from that day on a leper, and he died the death of a leper.
Well, that concludes the first half of our message called Courage, which is from our series called Rise, Live Your Best Life. Tune in tomorrow for the second half. As I mentioned earlier, if you'd like to have a copy of this message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will also find other helpful tools to help you in your walk with God. If you'd prefer to have a CD of the message, just contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. CDs are only $5 plus shipping, and Pastor Mark's book, called Unstuck, is also available for just $10 plus shipping. If you're looking for a home church, we invite you to check out one of our 25 New Life locations in and around Chicagoland. Just log on to newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We would love to meet you. Well, that's it for Pastor Mark, myself, and our Straight Talk team. Thank you so much for listening. Please do tune in again on the next Straight Talk as we continue on with our message called Courage. Please do tell a friend about our series and join us tomorrow night. Have a great night, and God bless.